This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
This is a busy, busy hour of guests. Yeah. Includes our man Emac coming up here momentarily.
Eric McClain, and then bottom of the hour, Riley Skinner will be here, and also Jonathan Yardley. Let's go live to Chateau McClain if we can. All right.
Guys, can I just say it is so great to see y'all in the same room. It's amazing. I hope it's enjoyable to you guys as it is us as the viewer.
Does it warm your heart? Is that what you're telling us? It warms your heart?
Okay. Yes. All the feels.
I will say this. The commute still remains the same. 16 steps from kitchen to chair.
It's a little different.
Listen, Kelly Gramlich said it best. Packer is the only guy who thrived staying in his basement the last year and a half. He's the only one on the whole earth.
Eric, I swear, people always ask about the whole pandemic. And I said, I hate to break the news to you. It really never changed, because when ESPN built this unbelievable studio, it wasn't with the intent of COVID. I mean, nobody knew pandemic was coming. My life never changed. I mean, I never left the house even before the pandemic. So quite frankly, for the most part, it's kind of been par for the course, to be honest with you. It really is. It's true.
Some guys are luckier than others. That's all that is.
What can I tell you? Let it ride. That's what the ESPN said when they built it. Let it ride.
Yeah, more let it ride stories from Canada. All right. Let me ask a real important question here at the top of the program before we get into football. Tell us about Tuffy.
Tuffy.
Listen, that's a bad dog. And just looks like a wolf, acts like a wolf. He has very sharp talons. So the owners were like, here, use some treats to help get his attention and all this stuff. So I'm reaching out with some food, and he jumps on me with his claws. And they say, oh, be careful, his claws are sharp, as he's like ripping the skin off of my arm. I was like, oh, cool. But other than that, great dog, awesome mascot. Can't wait to see him fully grown up and be just a beast for NC State.
So the wolf pup has talons? Is that what you're telling me?
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. I mean, any prey it wants, it's got that easy. It's got it easy between teeth and claws.
Oh, this thing, now you want it on the desk, do you? You want the thing to sit on the desk two weeks from today?
No.
Pack.
No, you don't.
I've never heard anything about talons until now. I think talons, I think hawks, eagles, vultures.
And now Tuffy. Now you can add Tuffy to that list.
Well, hopefully the handlers are watching this and we get a little pedicure for the wolf pup. Can we? Can we get a pedicure for the wolf pup before we come rolling in there in 2 weeks?
Emac, you are destroying his vision of the wolf pup being on the set 2 weeks from today in Raleigh.
Talons.
He has been talking about Tuffy on set for a month.
Yeah. This is a wolf, man. You better be understanding what you're getting yourself into.
Well, I was good with the wolf part. I got no problem with the wolf, but the talons, that's an issue. We gotta work out something there. Because I don't want to be having to wear long sleeve leather shirts and chaps when I come rolling into Raleigh to do the show. I don't want to be 103 in Raleigh in 2 weeks. I mean, I'm gonna have some Bojangles biscuits in my bag, so I'll get its attention from
that
perspective.
Right.
But talons could be a problem. Again, like I said, I'm thinking about birds of prey. When I hear talons, I'm not thinking about the wolf pup. Good grief. All right, let's get to football. Let's get some football. Listen, you've been on the road. In your humble opinion of the teams that you've seen in person, the most impressive team that you have seen prior to kickoff is whom?
I don't think it's any question, North Carolina. And really the most impressive part about them was their defensive line. I mean, those guys – I don't want to sit here and say that they look like Clemson, because I think Clemson has the best defensive line in college football, and we'll get to see that live and in person next week. But they're close, and they're getting there. Each and every guy you look at is a 4 or 5 star waiting to play, but they ran out 2 sophomores, 2 freshmen, and I was just like, man, these guys are different. They look like grown men, and they're just pups, and they're out here dominating, fast, physical, explosive. And, you know, I think that's kind of been what's been missing for North Carolina is the defense. And I think that that's going to be par for the course and maybe not be such a liability this year and actually be a reason that they win some football games at the defensive back position. I mean, just loaded deep with talent. And a guy like Tony Grimes, my goodness, he looks tremendous. Has gained about 20 pounds. Doesn't look like a high school football player anymore. Looks like an elite defensive back. The linebacking core, of course, with Jeremiah Gimmel and then big Eugene Asante. I know they lost a great player in Chaz Surratt, but Asante, I mean, I think he's a better true linebacker, just instinctual, not afraid to get up in there in contact and really deliver blows. And we've already seen he's a guy that can be all over the field. I mean, he had about 20, 30 tackles against Texas A&M with the way that he did that. So offensively, the weapons are there. Coach Mack Brown said it best that think about it as 2019, where nobody knew who, you know, Daz Newsome and Da'Ami Brown was. No one knew who Javonte Williams, Michael Carter were yet. And so now that's the same position we are in. We have those guys. You just don't quite know their name yet. So I'm excited to see them run out there. Of course, they have a huge test first going up to Blacksburg, a place I think they've only won twice in like 20 years. So I'm sure Brian Ives will correct me on that. But big test early for the Tar Heels.
All right, Eric, you mentioned defense. And I hear that, like, is it Silver, the defensive end, who's a freshman who I think is wearing a sink?
Silver is at three technique. He's not a defensive end anymore. He is just rocked up. He's a big dude.
And he wears a single-digit number on top of that, so you're not going to have a hard time finding him. The number looks like an island on the jersey. So the idea that we're spending time talking about Carolina's defense, and that's the first thing you brought up, that's going to surprise a lot of people because it's been offense, 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 and now you're saying that the defense might be able to match here?
Yeah, and that's what was so shocking to me, Wes, is I'm sitting there at practice, you know, watching the quarterbacks, wide receivers, running backs, and then just out of the corner of my eye, I see the defensive line doing these drills, and I'm like, these body types look a little different. These guys look like, you know, some dudes, some ballers, and I'm going over there and I see 10, I see 8, I see 6, 5, all these single digit and low digit numbers, and man, they're freaky, Wes, and it's going to be exciting. Of course, need to see it on the field. It's great to look good in you know, shorts and shoulder pads, but production on the field is a totally different thing. But I think it's going to sync up, and I really do think this is going to be a solid year for that defense. And if you look at Mac's first years there, his first time around, it was that defense and the defensive line that really set the tone. And so if they're able to do that, I mean, who knows what the limit's going to be.
Eric, who else around the league that you've seen in person jumped out at you? Could be a player, could be a position group. You tell me. You've been on the road.
Yeah, I think NC State's linebacking core is going to be some of the best in the country, you know, led by Peyton Wilson, who obviously is just – he's a maniac. I mean, he plays so hard and you know, just gives 100% effort each and every play. I would watch him come off to the sideline after a series, whether it was 7-on-7, inside drill, a team period, and he's just exhausted. You know, he gives so much effort, just even in practice in the early stages of camp, but – that entire core with Isaiah Moore, big Drake Thomas, and of course, again, Peyton Wilson, they're incredible. They know what each other are going to do each and every play. They don't even have to communicate. It's almost just like they expect, you know, the guys to be in the certain place. And when they see something, they react just as one unit. It was incredible to watch. And it was early, and there were no mistakes. And they were correcting young guys. It was very impressive to see. So overall, I think that NC State defense is – they're going to be ready to go. And again, be able to match with a bunch of people. I think if we see the NC State defense that we saw in the last five games of the season, they could be another tough team. And then lastly, Pitt was very impressive as well. And I know they lost so much – on the defensive line and in the secondary that people are going to question them and say, man, you know, Pitt's not going to be the same team. Listen, they are. They just reload. You know, that they have guys waiting in the wings. I think Kalijah Cansey is going to be a guy that, man, he just explodes this year. He looked fantastic. He's quick. He's powerful. And then just that scheme – guys, I sat in a position meeting. I was listening to the blitz packages that Pitt is going to bring. It's fantastic, and it's tough to stop. I can only imagine being a left guard looking up and seeing people just swarm around in exotic positions and blitzes and try to stop those guys because they're different on third down.
All right. Yesterday, Chris Felica was with us on this show, and he said the gap between Clemson and, in his mind, Carolina is closer than the gap, say, in the Big Ten between Ohio State and Wisconsin. So in your mind, after seeing Carolina, talking about Pittsburgh, NC State, is Carolina the biggest challenger to the Tigers' throne today?
I think so. And if you ask Roddy and some other guys, they'll say Miami, which I think that's a good problem to have. I think that's a good thing to be able to say multiple teams because for a while that wasn't the case. It was nobody. It was maybe this team will come out of the coastal, and we did a whole fun video about that. But I think it is going to be Carolina. And when you have the best, you know, quarterback in the country and Sam Howell going into this season – There's a big reason why, and you return all five starting offensive linemen, obviously an offensive coordinator, and then the position players are there. I mean, again, we're going to find out who they are with Brown, with Josh, and great running back. I think he's going to be such a great piece for them that he can just do a lot of different things, and he's going to be very successful in doing so. So, yeah, I say Carolina, no doubt.
All right, a lot of talk about Clemson, a lot of talk about North Carolina, a lot of talk about Miami. But recently, you talk about that offensive line, it all starts at that center position, and you came up with a list. I found it interesting. No Clemson, no North Carolina, no Miami.
I did. And I think that it's interesting to look at, guys. This position group with the ACC is so deep. So I'm glad that you did this. I was just on a podcast yesterday for some folks over in the UK, and we were talking about how deep the center position is in the ACC. I think Alec Lindstrom is the second best center in the country, second to the young man over at Iowa. I think Brock and Grant, pretty interchangeable there at number two. But again, you talk about some of the best in the country. It's a loaded position group, and you could have maybe moved four or five around and got big Grant Gaynor there from Miami, maybe from North Carolina, and then even Duke. My guy's been hurt for, it seems like,
Zach
a year
Oldeball,
and a half now,
yeah.
But what is he going to be able to do when Jack comes back? So it is a loaded position group, to say the least, and I can't wait to see what the postseason top five is going to be and who really steps up and delivers for their team.
All right, we're running this tweet from Cole Kublik, and I want to say now, when we want to go to line talk right here, it's either Mac or Cole. I'm good. I don't have to talk to anybody else nationally.
My man.
If I talk to Eric or I talk to Cole Kublik, I'm in good shape here. Kublik says when picking a national championship winner, maybe focus on the center. Of the last nine title winners, six centers were drafted, three in the first round. Four of those combined for 132 starts, a Super Bowl win, and two Pro Bowls. Four centers won the Remington, three helped win the Joe Moore Award. Yet you don't have a Tiger, a Heel, a Kane in the top five.
You know what? The three that won national championships, they were Clemson Tigers, and they weren't on any of those lists. So Clemson's just fine with not being on those lists.
By the way, you mentioned doing a podcast in the UK. I'm assuming that's not the University of Kentucky. Is that accurate? Would that be okay?
That is not. That is over in London. My boys, College Chaps, check them out. Love hanging out with those guys.
And what do they know about ACC football?
Man, they love it. I tell you what, they are some of the biggest Boston College fans that you'll ever talk about. They're really excited about Coach Hapley. They said Zay Flowers, best wide receiver in the ACC. I had to push back just a little bit on that.
Really? Shocking.
But they're jacked up for the Eagles. Right.
Shocking that Mac would push back on Zay Flowers.
You know what?
I said he was third.
Third?
Listen.
He's third.
When fish and chips is a premier tailgate luxury in this league, I'm tapping out. I'm tapping out.
Might be coming, Pack. Who knows?
Let me tell you something. If fish and chips becomes a premium tailgate sample, I'm done. I am out of here.
I kind of wish you to answer.
We'll stick with the barbecue around here.
That's we right. want we'll no barbecue. Part of fish and chips. I had it when I was in London, and it was dog food.
I would just, no, stop that.
Dog food.
No, it wasn't.
All right, cat food.
No, it wasn't that either. No. I would like to say this, however.
I wouldn't give it to Clifford. I'll tell you that right now. This stuff's nasty. It's nasty. It's like eating catfish.
I tell you how happy I am to be back in the basement, Mac.
You go back to Cartersville if you want. Go back there, that you and that cat working on that deck if you're in the mood, big man.
All right. What do you need to see in the next 2 weeks? What do you want to hear about in the next 2 weeks leading up to NC State, South Florida, Old Dominion, Wake, Virginia Tech, Carolina? I mean, what do you want to hear if you're following the ACC? First thing is no injuries.
Well, the first thing is getting those talons clipped before now on September 3rd or when it's September 2nd. Get those talons clipped from that wolf pup. That's the first thing we're going to get done. Then we're going to talk football.
That's right. Well, I think for sure no injuries is – I mean, that can be so devastating, and especially at this stage in the game, how we're so close. You know, you would think that people are being a little bit more safe, a little bit more aware of the drills that we're doing to keep everybody healthy. Hopefully these COVID vaccines keep going up, these percentages, these numbers. I know the ACC hasn't announced what, you know, kind of our legislation is going to be regarding if it's a forfeit, is it a reschedule, is it just a no contest?
Right.
You know, what is that going to look like? And then, of course, just getting excited and seeing some depth charts roll out, seeing some, okay, this is our quarterback. This is who we're going with for some of the battles that we have and other position battles like that. So talking season is fun, but, you know, I'm ready to put some shoe to leather and see some big boys collide on the line of scrimmage.
I like it. I think you got a good attitude with that.
Good to see you. Thanks for the update on the talons. You've changed the perspective totally on the visit
That's right.
in 2 weeks.
I have to have a different game plan now.
Hey, I'm sure they're listening. They'll get it handled. I appreciate being with you guys always.
I'm not signing any liability forms. We're coming here to do a radio television show. There's talons on Wolf Pup. Somebody better bring the medic.
That's right.
Who knew in the video, right? Who knew?
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham, ACC Network, pre-power hour. Start off with Eric McLean. Got Riley Skinner, future Wake Forest Hall of Famer. Gets inducted next month.
Actually, was two classes ago yeah. and now goes in for the first
Correct. Time. Correct. Yeah. I think it's September of next month.
September 17th.
Inducted. Yeah. Right. Yeah. He'll be good to go. And Jonathan Yardley will join us as well later this hour because the ACC women's soccer season is upon us. Florida State, the team to beat. North Carolina, Virginia should be good too. The league's always loaded.
Yeah.
So we'll give you a little fake left, go right. We'll do that right now.
Today is the 70th anniversary of Eddie Goodell stepping into the batter's box. The great Bill Veeck.
Oh, man.
Who... Veeck is in rec now. Don't forget that. If you want to read a great sports marketing book, there's one, right? Promotional book.
Brilliant.
Yeah. There's Eddie stepping on in for the St. Louis Browns.
Yeah, that's high. That's a ball right
That's
there.
A ball. Yeah. So
a normal strike, but in this particular case, high and a little outside.
Yeah. 3'7" Eddie Goodell for the St. Louis Browns 70 years ago today. So begs the question, who are the best short guys in ACC history? Right.
Somehow I know someone's probably offended right now and is writing a letter to ACC Network. Did you see what Packer and Durham did this morning? They were talking about short guys. You know somebody's offended. In this day and age, somebody will be offended.
All right. Well,
don't get uncomfortable, but I'm just telling you, somebody will be offended. We're not here to offend anyone.
Well, and here's the tie, because today is the road trip at Wake Forest. We showed some Billy pictures earlier. Not necessarily a short guy.
Billy's 5'11".
Yeah, on a good day, right? Yeah,
you know. I mean, the guy's 82 years old.
I know. But Tyrone Muggsy Bogues.
Of course, Muggsy.
Great Charlotte Hornet. Dunbar Poet from Baltimore, Maryland. And a Demon Deacon. Oh, feeding inside. Is
you remember the first time you saw Muggsy play? Oh, you're thinking, how in the world is this guy going to be a factor in the league?
There you go.
And lo and behold, the rest is history.
It's good to see video from the Capitol Center in Landover, Maryland, baby. I miss the old Capitol Center.
You know who else missed that?
Who?
NC State.
Yeah.
That's where they won their last championship.
ACC championship.
It was there too. That thing.
The next one, Muggsy Bogues was 5'3". Anthony Spud Webb.
Gosh, he was great.
Let's roll the video from Reynolds Coliseum and the tartan floor.
How about some hops here now, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Goodness gracious.
Spud off the baseline. There's Ben Coleman, Len Bias, Herman Veal underneath the goal for Maryland. Feeding Cozell McQueen from Bennettsville, South Carolina.
You miss those days, right? Old tartan floor.
Oh, man, I love that floor. Oh,
so great.
It was.
So great.
All right. Maybe the best short guy in all of ACC football current membership would be Doug Flutie at Boston College.
Be on the short list. No pun intended. This guy was dynamic. I remember meeting him for the first time when he was at Boston College.
Yeah.
I was doing some television work on the sideline, and you met Flutie, and you're like, this guy? Mm-hmm. This is the guy that's causing problems? Yeah. You got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
He looked like he was 11 years old. Still looks that way.
Slinging it.
And, man, could he play. He just had the knack for getting open and extending plays and always hit the right guy, and he's a terrific dude on top of it. So, absolutely on that list.
Virginia Tech, one of their all-time greats, is 6 feet tall.
And you still can't catch him. Nope. Off to the races. Nope. Let it ride. Dude. Michael Vick.
Man, I'm telling you.
Could sling it, could run, just electric.
Yep. The left-hander from Warwick High School.
Man, could he fly, right? Woo. He was quick on quick and just, man, you just give him an inch and he was gone.
Yep.
So much fun to watch.
Yep. We put this in here because I just think it's become a thing for us too, but he's also sub 6 feet and yet has won a Super Bowl, great player at NC State, finished up at Wisconsin.
I need something stronger than this if we're going to go Russell Wilson.
Here's Russell Wilson.
Oh, here we go. Yeah. I knew this was coming.
Yeah, you know, come on, Russell Wilson, right? 5 feet 11, he measured 5'10 at the NFL Combine. They advertised 5'11, he was 5'10 at the Combine.
Are you surprised he was that good in the NFL, Wes? Be honest.
No. I thought he was the thing that has always impressed me, the one trait he has that I like about him as a football player is completion percentage. His completion percentage is through the roof every year. He just does not miss throws. Yardage, fine. You got guys that have got cannons who can throw it, right? He doesn't miss open guys. He gets the ball to guys at a higher rate than just about anybody in the league.
The old Southern Fried Football Tour that I created 100 years ago, we went down to Columbia, South Carolina for NC State, South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
He's a quarterback.
Yeah.
I thought he got decapitated
right that
night. And I really did. I'm like, we'll never see that. Whoever that kid is, That poor guy, we may never see him again. Mm-hmm. That was Russell Wilson. And South Carolina hit him into next week.
Mm-hmm.
And he just turned out to be a baller.
Yeah, big time.
Baller.
Competitor.
Oh, man.
Big time competitor.
So good.
By the way, Wilson also has one of the great quotes about height with Kevin Hart.
Oh, this is great.
He says in an interview, I was going to try to put some socks under these feet and try to get a couple extra inches. I had my hair all tall. I had it all gelled up. I'm thinking to myself, man, I'm going to be a good 6'1" with this. The hair's growing long. Sure enough, I know I measured myself. My true height, I'm like 5'10". So anyway, sure enough, this dude measured me at 5'10 and a quarter inch. I was hot.
It all worked out, though.
Life
is pretty good if you're Russell Wilson.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's
married up. Got a few dollars on the side. Yeah. Incredible success.
Yep.
And an NC State guy, even though there's some, but put lists together that would have no idea that he went to NC State.
That's right.
Hard to believe.
Yeah.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Packer and Durham, Thursday edition. We're now going to bring on a Hall of Famer that probably took some dudes for some cash yesterday on the links.
All right, be about right.
Would you guess on that?
I'm going to say that we're bringing a guy on who's already been in the Hall of Fame. He'll be formally presented on September 17th to the Wake Forest group. It is August the 19th, so he's still got time to be hustling cats in North Florida for a dollar or two on a golf course. He's also probably in the real estate business doing some things today. Maybe he's helped Trevor Lawrence get a house in Jacksonville. Or Tim Tebow sell one.
Or maybe help Tim Tebow get rid of his.
All right. Riley Skinner joins us, friends. What are you laughing about? We got part of this right. Which part did we get right? Did you hustle some cats for a dollar or two yesterday? Or are you making deals to get Lawrence taken care of because your wife's a Clemson alum and she wants to make sure the quarterback's taken care of?
Y'all are pretty close in all the above.
That does not surprise me.
And I love you threw in the sale of the Tebow house. That was a nice touch there.
That's the least we can do on ACC Network. He's going to be okay.
Tim's fine.
He's still making some coin. He'll be all right.
Tim will be okay. I'm not worried about him.
Hey, he'll be just fine.
You know,
there's not a lot of sympathy there.
You know, listen, you and Tebow have a lot in common. You won a championship as a quarterback, and you married out of your mind, both of you.
That's right.
So
I'll take it. I got no complaints.
All right. So the Wake Forest road trip is today in Winston-Salem. EJ Manuel and Jordan Cornette are up there watching Coach Clawson go through their paces. Let's see. By my count, it was 15 years ago. You were, stepping on the Winston-Salem campus, directing Jimmy Grobe's Deeks to the ACC championship there in your hometown. Seems just like yesterday. I mean, they're putting you in the Hall of Fame. You know, your first ballot guy. Come on, this has got to be fun for you, right?
15 years. I wish I was up there today. To be honest, I'm looking forward to seeing what they do. Get a good little glimpse of the new facilities up there, which are killer. But me and my family are so fired up to go back in a couple weeks. It's going to be the Florida State game, which will be a blast. We got a whole contingency of our family getting back up there. A lot of them haven't been up in a while since I was playing there, and got some teammates coming back. Just an incredible, incredible honor. It's going to be fun to relive some memories and see a lot of the guys that I haven't seen in a while. And it's bring my three little boys up with my wife and I is going to be, I think it's going to be a memory that I will certainly never forget. And the funny part is we've got a good number of people coming, but when we found out that Chris Paul was going to be in this class, for some reason, a lot more people wanted to go. They moved the ceremony from the football field into the basketball arena. They're selling tickets for the event. I'd like to say it was because I was going to be there, but I think we all know Chris Paul is going to be in your crowd. So it's going to be a fun weekend.
Riley, you mentioned Jim Grobe, who's just a great coach. You guys win an ACC championship. But you know what? The guy that Wake Forest has right now running the football show, Dave Clawson, may be the perfect fit, isn't he? I mean, he understands and acknowledges what Wake Forest stands for from an academic standpoint. There's no excuses. He's recruited the right kind of character for a football team, and you've had great success. I mean, can't think of a better guy for Wake Forest than Dave Clawson.
No, and we're fired up. He signed a longer contract with us. And like you said, he gets it. He gets the program. He gets the difficulties. But he also expects a lot out of our players. And that's what I love about him. I also love his honesty. I mean, when you speak to him, he'll tell you, we've got corners that right now are struggling to play in the ACC, or we're deep in this position. I like where we're at, but where we're going to be soft is here. And so he lets the guys know where he feels like they are. And then I feel like that helps the team step up. It helps them adapt for some of the inefficiencies or some of the strength. And, you know, looking at, we've got 19 players in the NFL right now. That's pretty much all from his tenure, and the way that they've developed players into the players that they want to be. We have absolute ballers on the offensive side of the ball these days that, you know, we had really good players when we were playing, but to see the numbers and to see the type of offense they run and the people they're putting in the NFL, it's a huge testament to Coach Clawson and the program and the culture that he's created. And not only the players and the talent, but the facilities that he's pushed to build and that are there right now are first class, second to none, and we love the trajectory of the program right now.
You know, the interesting thing, and your life parallels your playing career at Wake Forest and your life growing up in Jacksonville on the First Coast, and obviously being back home now after living in Charlotte for a brief period. And we talk about Megan being a Clemson grad and all that's fun and everything. But your football career at Wake Forest, I mean, you win the championship in your hometown. You then get to play in the Orange Bowl. But a couple of weeks ago, you know, I was reminded – you own Florida State, dude. I mean, you guys, I mean, Florida State was the brand. And you guys, you and Georgia Tech had great games. But what you guys did to Florida State, Riley, I mean, that just didn't happen very much. I mean, and I know losing Coach Bowden last week was tough on a lot of people at Florida State, but that's a guy that you grew up around. I mean, you grew up around the heyday of Florida State, the heyday of the Gators, all that stuff going on. In your hometown.
I mean, that's all you heard here was Florida and Florida State. So for us to be able to go and beat Florida State the way that we did and to go 3 years in a row beating Florida State was something – it was one of the top highlights of my career, to be quite honest, especially being from Jacksonville. And a lot of our family getting to go over to those games, got some great stories of – 100-person bus of our family and friends that went there and broke down in the middle of the night on the way back. And you know, competing against that brand and be able to have success coming from a university with 4,000 students was something I'll never forget. And losing Coach Bowden a couple weeks ago, it was a tough thing to do. Man, I mean, what a pillar of the game, but what a testimony of character and faith and family. Being able to have all those things and to set the precedent for other coaches and players, also while setting the standard of winning in football. We lost, we lost a pillar of the game, but I think as you see the outpouring from family, friends, players, coaches, it's the character what spoke to everybody the most, and that's what I remember him, the interactions I've had with him over the years during playing football and after seeing him in certain events. That's what I'll remember for sure.
And Riley, you're going to come full circle. Wes and I have analyzed schedules left and right. We're like everybody else, we're ready for kickoff. Mm. But when you go back to Winston-Salem for that weekend, that game in particular, kind of really for both teams, kind of feels like one of those, all right, we're going to find out what direction these two are going to go in. Because I do expect Wake Forest to be 2-0 when Florida State gets to town. And the Noles, I know they're upbeat. They're excited about seeing Notre Dame to start their season when they come rolling here on a Sunday night. But that game up there in Switzerland now, Florida State and the Deacs, it just kind of feels like, hey, this could be one of those games that whoever wins heads this way, whoever loses goes this way. Just feels that way.
I completely agree. If you told me that Wake was going to be 7 wins through the first 8 games, I wouldn't blink an eye. But that's the game I think that can be the pendulum one way or the other. Because like you said, we don't know what to expect out of Florida State. You know, we had a lot of high hopes last year. It didn't really work out the way that everybody was hoping with the new staff. But they've got a lot of talent. I think Wake – because they're returning, I mean, I think they're returning close to 20 starters from last year, and we know a little bit more about what kind of Wake team I think we're going to have, and I think they 100% will give Florida State a run for their money. I wouldn't be shocked at all. In fact, I think they're going to win that football game, given the first conference game at home. There's going to be a lot of energy back in the stadium, and it. I think the way that Wake Forest's schedule is so back heavy, I think the Deacs and Coach Clawson realize if they can get over that hurdle of Florida State, it could snowball into a pretty big season going forward, given how the schedule is setting up. But I'm fired up. We're going to be front and center for that game, and we're going to get to see what the Deacs are about. And if the Noles can squeak one out over Florida State, I mean over Notre Dame, you know they're coming in hot and heavy. And so it's going to be a great 3:30 ESPN ABC game.
Yeah, you know, the other thing, too, that'll be the second best-looking quarterback in the building that day.
Hartman?
Because Hartman got Skinner just crushed.
I think Hart, look, man, you got wrinkles. It's struggling over here.
Got three kids. Yeah. Got business three going boys. On. Got taxes. And Hartman is just owning the campus.
Right? That's right. The way things have trended, I think Sam Hartman's probably going to be on the next Bachelor in 2 or 3 years. That's been the trend in Wake Forest sports these days. So we'll see how that goes. Before he gets there, I want to see some wins, though.
Oh, here Sam, we go. Alum. Look at the alum. There's the alum.
There's the Hall of Famer. And in fact, I'll tell you what, that statement alone, the Wake Forest fundraising department will be calling you in about 2 minutes.
Yeah, we got to go because your phone's getting ready to ring. Deacon Club on line one. John Curry and the Deacon Club on line one to talk to
you. That's right.
So, all right, real quick, are you pumped about Trevor and the Jaguars? I'll give you 20 seconds to riff on the ACC in Jacksonville. I know you're hyped up. You follow the Jags. I know you're, got to get a little better in the offensive line. Just saying. Other than that, you're okay.
I appreciate you bringing it home to Jayville. So let us share this for a minute. I haven't had season tickets to the Jags in 6 years. We get Trevor, we get ETN. My wife makes me buy 4 tickets. So we got season tickets. We've already been to one of the Sunday morning scrimmages. Safe to say I'm going to be coaching Friday night football, quarterbacks and bowls, and I'm coaching my kids in football on Saturday, and we got Jags in church on Sunday, man. Our fall weekend is set. I got high hopes we can hopefully get over 6 wins for the Jags.
All right, there you go. You're on record. Hey, congratulations, though. I know you're excited about the road trip to Winston next month, and well-deserved, my man.
Let me just say this. It's a pleasure know that I've got about $5 of a Hall of Famer's money, Pack.
Oh,
yeah, yeah. I hit a screaming 5-iron one day to 3 feet, Pack.
Money can always change hands. I remember that day, Wes, but look, money can always change hands.
And it will the next
time
we
play.
I know. You got that right. Be well. Congratulations. Great to see you.
All right. Thanks, guys. Good talking with you.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
But right now, Wes, it is all about women's soccer. The men's start next week. ACC women's soccer as we speak. Get ready. Get it cranked up.
Let's check in with Jonathan Yardley. He's kind of our man on the pitch here. Good morning. Oh, like Jonathan got a little bit of a setup now. We got tone walls here, got all set up. We used to, have bookshelves and everything. Now we got something going on here.
Yeah. I spent all summer in the pool with my kids, so that's where all that comes from. That's honestly earned. That's not lying around. That's in the pool working with the 2-year-old, just trying to get him to be in the water.
There you go. Like it.
It's all about priorities.
Yeah.
All about priorities. The priority in this league when it comes to women's soccer is, hey, we know Florida State's loaded. Are they the team to beat again, Jonathan?
I wish I could give you a surprise, but yes, they are. They bring back 10 of 11 players from the best team in the country. So what do you want to do? They make a change up top. They bring in a transfer, Beata Olsen from Florida. We'll see if she's the ruthless finisher you need. How about rating Florida, by the way, for a forward? She'd only been there for one semester. But they bring back 10 of 11 starters. Nobody beat them in regulation last year, 13-0-3. But you know what? Their website says 13-1-2. They count the championship game as a loss because they didn't win it. So I think there's some unfinished business they're going to be dealing with all year. They got the best player in the country, Jalen Howell, in midfield. They got just all kinds of talent. We could spend all day talking about Florida State's lineup. Yes, they are the team to beat again, but, hey, we had 3 ACC teams in the College Cup last year. It's not going to be easy.
Well, and you mentioned Jalen Howell won the Mac Herman a year ago. I mean, how far and away is she the best player in the country?
I think there's some contention. Top drawer soccer had Kelsey Turnbow from Santa Clara, who had the goal in the championship game last year, up ahead of her. They didn't have Jalen Howell number one, but I believe she was the first soccer player to sign an NIL deal. It wasn't a big one, but it's soccer. It's early days. You get something. She's a national team prospect. She is the best player in the country coming into the season. But there's competition. She's got to back it up every game. And from what we've seen of her over the first 3 years, we know she will.
Jonathan, it seems to me, too, when you talk about all the talent that comes back in Tallahassee, and the ACC was so dominant as a conference. You mentioned 3 of the 4 in the College Cup. But when you lose the national championship game, especially on penalty kicks, you know that one stinks, right? So you got not only an incredibly talented roster, but they've got the ultimate incentive, like you mentioned, unfinished business. And to me, that is always a dangerous combination when you've got incredible talent, great coaching, and the motivation to, guess what, we let one get away last year.
Yeah, Texas A&M is a good team. I would not want to be Texas A&M tonight because I think Florida State's going to come out hot. It's a real short turnaround. Maybe that's better than having to wait a whole year to get back on the field. But these players, they took a couple weeks off after the national championship. They went off and played with their summer teams. And I heard Mark Krikorian talking about preseason. He said, we've never had a team come in this fit. I'm almost a little bit worried because I don't want them to peak now. I want them to peak in November. But I have a feeling they're going to be ready to make some statements with some of their early game.
All right, Jonathan, in the early games, we know about Florida State. We know Carolina and Virginia should be good. Who else do we need to watch here? I mean, is there a proverbial? We're talking about, you know, teams chasing Clemson in football. Who are we looking at in women's soccer?
Yeah, so I think it is the big three, but it may be the big five this year. Duke and Clemson both made the quarterfinals last year. Clemson brings back almost every starter, and yet they still brought in a loaded recruiting class. Duke always has good recruits coming in. They had a freshman starting up top in preseason. We'll see if she can be the goal scorer they need. So honestly, I think there's a big gap between the top five and everybody else in the ACC. We'll see if I'm right. Clemson doesn't have to play two of those top four this year. Everybody else plays each other in the regular season, which is good. Last year we had Florida State, Virginia, and Duke all Florida State, Virginia, and UNC all arrive just about unbeaten at the end of the regular season. So they will play each other in the regular season. We'll see who gets on top there. But I think Duke and Clemson are 4 and 5. That's pretty clear cut. And then this year, the ACC tournament is only going to have 6 teams. They reduced it from 8 to 6, which is probably a whole nother conversation we can get into with some of these coaches for why they did that. But so that race for 6 is going to be fascinating. You got Notre Dame, Wake Forest, Virginia Tech, and NC State is back on the field this year. They played in the spring, 5 wins, 3 losses. I talked to Tim Santoro. They open with Georgetown today, so they're jumping right into the fire. So I think Duke and Clemson at 4 and 5 is absolutely right. I think people are sleeping on NC State here a little bit, and I think Louisville's going to struggle to replace Amina Ekic. But if Louisville can get some goal scoring, we know they'll be well coached. And then the last dark horse I'll throw your way is Pitt, one of their best seasons ever last year, but they still didn't make the NCAAs. They still didn't make the ACC tournament. They have Amanda West, always dangerous, and added, I think, the most transfers in the ACC. That portal was busy, continues to be busy. So they're one of the dark horses. But again, trying to make a 6-team tournament instead of 8, it's going to be tough for some of those teams at the in the bottom half.
Jonathan, obviously the ladies take center stage and they get the spotlight since the season starts tonight. Next week, the men take over. You just talked about Pitt as a potential dark horse on the ladies' side. I don't think there's anything to talk about from the men's side. Pitt looks like the team to beat on the men's side.
Yeah, they're not going to sneak up anybody anymore, that's for sure. But the men, it'll be really open. I think, you know, they let all 12 teams in the tournament because we've seen it year after year. You can come from anywhere in the ACC and make a run at the end of the year, which, by the way, the Florida State women finished 7th 1 year and won the national championship. Under this format, they would miss the tournament. Mm. But yeah, Pitt is the favorite. You know Wake Forest is going to be there. I saw a little bit of Virginia's preseason game this week against Longwood. It's going to be deep again. It's going to be fun again. And, you know, I'm leaving out everybody, right? Clemson, Clemson, Virginia Tech, North Carolina, Duke, they're all going to be there. But we're looking forward to getting that going as well. But they do have to wait a little bit. Women's soccer gets the 2 weeks of preseason, and they get right underway. And we have 3 games coming up on Sunday on ACC Network. I have North Carolina, Arkansas, which I was talking to a coach actually from the SEC, and he said, I'm clearing my schedule for that game. It is going to be fascinating. They may set a record for most substitutions in a game because both teams like to rotate. They like to run. They like to high press. But this is not going to be folks sitting back and passing the ball around. They're going to be going to goal, North Carolina and Arkansas, on Sunday.
All right. Jonathan Yardley's got us covered on the pitch. Appreciate the time as always. Good luck. Have a great start to the year.
Anytime, fellas.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.